Welcome to the Labor Exchange for November 29th, 2021. I'm your host this week, Shannon Young. Dennis Kreese is on hiatus. Today, we'll look at a recent victory by striking janitorial workers at Denver's International Airport. Then we'll hear from a Boulder woman who went from working as a custodian to documenting their oral histories for the Library of Congress. That's coming up right after this two-minute look at what happened in labor history on this day in 2012.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. On this day in labor history, the year was 2012. That was the day that more than 100 fast food workers in New York City walked off the job. They held a one-day strike for better wages and the right to form a union. It was the biggest fast food workers' strike up until that time. The movement soon grew to be much, much bigger. Their demand was simple and memorable: a $15 an hour minimum wage. The slogan became the Fight for 15 and a Union. The campaign found an ally in SEIU, the Service Employees International Union. By August of 2013, the movement held a national strike against low pay day of action. Fast food workers and their supporters held demonstrations in 60 cities. Today, the movement has spread to 300 cities and beyond the United States. While protesters have gathered at many fast food chains, McDonald's has become a focus of the campaign. Protesters have held annual one-day demonstrations at McDonald's headquarters just outside of Chicago. The campaign has seen victories. Both New York and California have passed a $15 an hour minimum wage law. So has the city of Seattle. Although it's a national and even international movement, it is also a grassroots effort. In each city, different local groups are involved. In Kansas City, fast food women workers have formed the Fannie Lou Hamer Women's Committee. They named their group after the civil rights champion. They take inspiration from her famous quote that she was sick and tired of being sick and tired. For many in the Fight for 15 movement, this sums up their involvement. It is a movement for the respect and dignity of workers and the right to earn a living wage.
Labor History in Two, brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show.
That's the sound of celebration by janitors at Denver's International Airport just after news broke that they had won a $4 an hour raise. The news came just shortly after hundreds of airport janitors walked off the job November 20th. KGNU's Alexis Kenyon spoke with David Fernandez of the Service Employees International Union about what the victory means for janitors and a growing labor movement.
David, thanks for being here.
Pleasure to be here.
So to start, tell me about Saturday's strike.
Yeah, so 350 of the janitors at our airport, at Denver International Airport, went on strike for better wages and working conditions this past Saturday. This is actually the second time that they've gone on strike over the past month and a half, as they've been negotiating a contract with Flagship Facility Services, which is their employer at the airport.
So can you tell me about what they're striking against?
Absolutely. So these are the janitors that we've depended on. And really over the past 20 months throughout the pandemic, they've been called heroes. They've been called essential workers. And they've really taken that to heart. However, their wages, they felt, were not reflecting everything that they had been called by our local leaders and by others alike for their work at the airport. So they were seeking to get higher wages that could help match the cost of living here in Denver, and then also protections on workloads. Folks know that there's worker shortages everywhere, but also at the airport. And janitors really believe that the reason for that is because the wages were just not enough for people to be able to survive on. And that's why they went on strike, really to ensure livable wages for their families, ensure fair workloads for the workers at the airport, and just in general, to be able to build a better airport and to make these jobs just more sustainable jobs for working people in our state.
How much were they getting paid before the strike, and what did the strike achieve?
Yeah, so on the low end, janitors at the airport were making $17 an hour when they started. After these negotiations, they've won a $4 an hour increase over the life of their contract, so within the next 3 years. That's a big deal. That's a 23% wage raise for these janitors. That's close to over $8,000 within the 3 years. That's going to be going directly to families. It's going to be going directly into our economy. And it's really life-changing for a lot of folks. Many of them who've been working at the airport for 10, 20, and a few of them almost 30 years. So it's really a historic win for them. It's the largest wage raises we have seen for this unit, for this group of workers at the airport, and just a big victory, I think, for Denver and the airport in general.
What does it take to organize a strike like this?
Yeah. So the only way that you can go on strike and effectively be able to, you know, do what the janitors did is by having a union in your workplace. When we organize together, when we stand united through your union, you're able to collectively bargain and bargain for your wages, bargain for better working conditions. And really what it took was unity between this unit, unity in demanding better and demanding better for the airport, for their jobs. And, you know, going on strike, it's a powerful tool that workers have, but it's also a huge sacrifice, especially for the people who have been making some of the lowest wages at the airport. And even though that was a sacrifice, these janitors voted overwhelmingly to go on strike. If they had to, they did so, and they had to do it again to be able to really get to the point where they needed to in the negotiations, where they were able to reach this historic agreement. But at the end of the day, it's people coming together at work. It's people joining together, having a union at work that gives us the power to be able to make these transformational changes across our state.
Can you tell me about the history of this union, specifically for janitors?
Yeah. The SEIU Local 105 has been a union here in Denver since the 1930s. However, the janitors movement, you may have heard of the Justice for Janitors movement. Actually, Denver is the birthplace of that movement here in the country. And just recently in the summer, we had our downtown Denver janitors who won a historic contract with wage increases. And we also have our janitors at the airport who have been on the front lines working on this as well. They're at the airport. I believe, you know, their contract has been around since the 1990s. But without a doubt, in speaking with all of the janitors, and especially the folks who have been there for 10, 20 years, they have never seen people this fired up, this ready to be able, willing to stand up for what's right and win. And that's a really exciting time right now for janitors and for all workers in our community.
Yeah, there seems to be a lot of energy coming from labor movements in general right now. Do you think that is part of this? And can you tell me more about it?
You know, I really think it stems back to the pandemic kind of being a pivotal moment for all of us, where we were called so many things, realizing how important certain jobs are, from janitors to doctors to every work and every worker in our community that makes, you know, our state run. And, you know, to be called heroes, to be called essential during that time, but to not actually see that in real life, in how your life is affected, in the wages that you're receiving, in the healthcare and the sick days that you get, that really affected people. And I think for the better, to be able to stand up for what is right and to ensure and demand that, you know, these wages that have not been livable for a very, very long time be changed. And we see many of the companies that they work for reaping, you know, billions in profits. If we just look at our airport directly, they've spent over several billion dollars just to renovate the infrastructure of the airport. And these janitors were saying, what about the human infrastructure? What about the people that maintain this airport? If we can spend that much money on renovating a building, we can absolutely put that money towards ensuring that families in our community can put food on the table and pay their rent. And I think that's a sentiment that's going on everywhere. And that collective power that I mentioned before, having a union in the workplace and being able to stand united on these issues, you're seeing that all over the country as well. People wanting and seeing the necessity for unions, to have a union, is a great equalizer in ensuring that workers get the wages and benefits that they deserve.
Is there anything else that you would like to add?
Just, you know, reiterating again, just it's a huge sacrifice to go on strike. It's a huge sacrifice to withhold your wages at any moment, but the payoff is big. And we've seen that all over the country. with workers from all different types of backgrounds. We saw that here at the airport, and now 350 families' lives are going to be different starting this year. So it's really exciting, and it's something that we should all be working towards.
You mentioned that it can be kind of scary for people to strike. You know, it takes a lot of courage that it's going to work and they're not going to be replaced. Why was the union able to get people to jump on board this time?
Yeah, I mean, I think the basis of it, though, is that the union are the workers in your workplace, right? You are the union. It was these janitors that really led this fight directly. And I think the courage was there. They knew that their work was essential for the functions of the airport. They knew if they were not on strike, or if they went out on strike, that it would significantly impact the experience that passengers would have at the airport, the cleanliness of the airport. You know, they really just exercised their power and realizing that their work is essential. And they were united in that fact. They were able to hold that line, and it paid off big.
David Fernandez is a union representative for Service Employees International. David, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And every nick and half. Even if we don't fight, bodies hit the ground. I spit the sound of a million fists in a pound. I'm in the crowd till this whole thing switch round. My brain's on temporary disconnect. I shoot my mouth off, I can't find my pistol yet. You can call this music disrespect, cause it'll slap you in your face at your local discotheque. Mr. Green with your missiles and rockets. My paycheck burns a hole in your pocket. You told the judge, put my name on the docket. Meeting in the break room, here's where we plotted. Let's fight, let's smash, let's win. We gon' fight, we gon' smash, let's in. Let's fight, let's smash, let's win. Just like getting up in the club with a fake ID. If it don't work, we gon' do it again. Your honor, man, please decode. Swear me in on a book full of Tupac quotes. After what I say, you might noose my throat. Report the police, scribble down a few hot notes. Allow me to be the first to throw dirt on the graves. Excuse me, I never learned to behave. My great-great-granny was a Carolina slave. She whispers in my ear, saying spark the blaze. Somewhere on the east side, I steal and rob. A whole generation gotta make a job. And the light bill still ain't resolved. See the hungry, my pulse and thrive. If you got a blacklist, I wanna be on it. If we gon' attack this, then we need to run it. If you see my hood, man, you might call it ghetto. Politicians are puppets, y'all, let's get your pedal. Let's fight, let's smash, let's win. We gon' fight, we gon' smash, let's in. Let's fight, let's smash, let's win. Just like getting up in the club with a fake ID. If it don't work, we gon' do it again.
Smash, Fight, Win by the Street Sweeper Social Club. You are listening to The Labor Exchange on KGNU. I'm your host, Shannon Young, and I am joined right now by Cynthia Torres, who, by fortuitous twist of fate, came into KGNU today for something completely unrelated. And we started talking about a project she has going on that is related to labor. You are documenting the experiences of custodians in Colorado? Or tell me what your project is about.
It's called Doing Oral Histories with Custodians and Janitors in Colorado. It's a Library of Congress Archie Green Fellowship, which is out of the Library of Congress Occupational Folklife Center.
And when did this project start?
Well, I applied for the grant at the beginning of the year, and we were awarded at the end of spring, and the funds were distributed in July of this year. So we started, and then our first interview was in, I believe, September.
So this grant came through once we were already in the throes of the pandemic. Was it motivated by the pandemic?
It was motivated by my free time during the pandemic. I had time. I'm a big Library of Congress fan. I love oral histories. And when I had lost my job early on, and I had time to read the Library of Congress newsletters. And I had spent several years as a custodian, working as a custodian at the university. And I had met so many extraordinary people who were unnoticed, dismissed. And I felt that that was an injustice itself. And so when this grant came out through the Occupational Folklife Center to do oral histories with folks in a particular employment sector, I decided that I wanted to at least try. I was nervous about it, but I wanted to at least try because I thought that custodians and janitors deserved a place in our history.
And there's a lot of talk about essential workers and who's essential and celebrating people as heroes during a pandemic. Have you seen continuity to that kind of hero treatment, or was it just kind of a motivational pat on the back to stay on the job during an extremely dangerous time?
Well, custodians and janitors, house cleaners, environmental service workers, they've always been essential workers. They just haven't been recognized as that. And so I think the pandemic just brought to light how important their work is to the functioning of our whole country, you know, the global economy. You know, you need your surgery rooms cleaned. You need to have your classrooms cleaned and disinfected to have classes, especially during the pandemic. And so you need your nursing homes cleaned. And so it just brought to light how essential and valuable they are.
And we're now seeing that janitors are able to leverage that power and leverage their importance in order to collectively bargain for higher salaries, for better work conditions. We're seeing it with the Denver airport janitors now. Do you know of other cases of custodians who have been able to leverage their work in order to improve their salaries and conditions?
Actually, I haven't. And I think that that's part of the value of the union, the SEIU 105 in Denver, is that they're helping custodians and janitors leverage their voice and leverage their the essential nature of their jobs to get higher pay and employment. And I think maybe perhaps the COVID pandemic helped leverage because we absolutely need them. I think part of the problem with custodians and janitors in general is that they don't have necessarily, they're not in positions of power. And so a lot of them are vulnerable, just with their particular job placement, in the hierarchy of things. And also, sometimes, documentation or residency, issues. They just don't have the power. And I hope that what's happening with the SEIU and the janitors at the airport will help to empower other unions and other organizations that support custodians and janitors to advocate on their behalf and to have the kinds of pay and benefits that they deserve.
Where is this project taking you, this project that's currently underway to document the oral histories of custodians, janitors, environmental service workers within Colorado? Is it mostly within the Front Range, or what is the scope of the different types of jobs and geographical space of this project?
There are custodians and janitors just about every aspect of our life. We just need them. They're everywhere. And so we're trying to get the word out, and we have partnered with the Denver SEIU to do some outreach within their union organization to recruit folks who might want to do oral histories to be able to tell their story, their side of it in their way. And so other areas, it's just been word of mouth, and I am looking at, doing outreach to other parts of the state as well, looking at perhaps some in Southern Colorado, and also the Northwest, but we are actively looking to recruit folks who would want to participate in this project. So if anyone out there, you know, is a custodian or a janitor, a domestic worker, environmental services worker, who wants to tell their story, you know, please reach out. Perhaps there's a way I can give my contact information later, but
why don't you do it now? How can they reach out to you?
Well, they can contact me via email, and that is Cindy, C-I-N-D-Y, Torres, T-O-R-R-E-S, email, E-M-A-I-L, so Cindy Torres email at gmail.com. But a really, really interested, you know, if anybody knows of somebody who might be interested in participating, that would be wonderful. Gosh, you know, custodians that and janitors that, you know, we've interviewed, domestic cleaners, you know, folks in hospitals, we've you know, on a university campus, and so we're looking to broaden the scope and make sure that we get diverse voices. We have interpretation services available if folks need it, if they feel more comfortable if English isn't their first language. So we're definitely open. There is a stipend that folks get for participating for their time. We can do it online. We can do it in person. However folks feel comfortable. And we always review the questions before we do the actual interview to make sure that we're not going to ask anything that folks don't want to answer, and that we're also asking questions to allow somebody to be able to tell their story.
And what have been some of the trends that you've noticed in the interviews that you've done already? What have been some common shared experiences?
People have pride in their work. It's not being a custodian and being a janitor, even from personal experience, you know, it was something that you can take pride in. It's not one of those disregarded, or, you know, you only become a custodian and janitor because you can't do anything else. It takes skill to be able, it takes knowledge to be able to do something, to be able to be a custodian inside of a surgery room. It takes real knowledge and dedication and passion, especially through, and courage, you know, through the pandemic. And also that even during the pandemic, we would think that maybe, you know, the custodial janitors, you know, might have a greater fear, but actually that it's quite the opposite. They feel more comfortable because they know that how things are being cleaned, that they're cleaning them. And so the environments that they're working in, actually people feel like they're safer there than being out at the grocery store when they don't know how it's being cleaned or sanitized.
Any stories in particular that have really surprised you?
Not having been a custodian for several years, I guess some of the stories haven't been so surprising. I think there are common themes there where, you know, we just wanted, as a custodian, a former custodian, we just wanted people to see our value. And I think the COVID, the pandemic, is really shedding the light on how essential custodians and janitors are. And I think that is, maybe that was surprising. Maybe the overall perspective outside the industry has really taken notice and seen the value of this particular, you know, part of the workforce that has really been unnoticed.
And when do you think that you will have your project complete by?
Well, we have to have it completed by the first July 1st of the upcoming year. So we're hoping to have that all taken care of, and the interviews. I'm not sure what the timeline is when the Library of Congress gets them, when they actually do become archived, but it is custodians and janitors in Colorado.
Great. Anything else that you would like to add? I'm speaking with Cindy Torres. Anything else that you would like to add that I didn't ask?
No, not that I can think of, but I think it's really important that we get the word out that this is something that's happening. And again, you have my contact information, or that maybe they can contact KGNU directly for my contact information. But we want to make sure that we do everything that we can to make sure that folks know that this is an opportunity for custodians and janitors in Colorado to be able to tell their story in an oral history format for our National Archive.
And maybe they can come on the labor exchange, or you can also share your recordings with the labor exchange. That's what we're here for. We want to amplify the voices of people who are out in the front lines working hard, you know, making the world spin and keeping, in this case, the everything clean and healthy. So I just want to thank you for coming on the labor exchange. You came in the door for something completely unrelated, but sometimes, you know, things work out in a way that we get sidetracked onto a very interesting conversation that ended up fitting the bill perfectly for the labor exchange itself. So thank you, Cindy Torres, for coming on the air. Again, your email is?
Cindy, C-I-N-D-Y, Torres, T-O-R-R-E-S, email, E-M-A-I-L, @gmail.com.
That's all the time we have for today's program. I hope you enjoyed it. You can always leave a message on KGNU's comment line. The number is 303-447-9911. We play those messages back every Tuesday morning at 8:25 during the Morning Magazine. We're going to close out this edition of the Labor Exchange with Tough Love by Galactic, featuring Trombone Shorty from the album From the Corner to the Block, an album that is all about the hustle. I've been your host, Shannon Young, and you are listening to KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins.